Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police, the one podcast you cannot do without, but you've had to do without it for a while, because I'm afraid we've all been on holiday. I was away for a couple of weeks, then we did one back, I think, and then you were away for a couple of weeks. Kevin's here.
I am, I'm back. We're back and raring to go, all guns blazing. We've got a lot to fucking talk about.
And we have got an awful lot to fucking talk about, because what a fucking shit show this government is. I cannot believe how bad they are. Every single day I say it, but every single day something else happens to make it even worse.
You shouldn't really use the word cunt about people, but I can't think of a better word for Keir Starmer than that.
Right.
What a fucking arsehole.
Yeah.
I mean, he lied and lied and lied.
Yeah.
And I think the worst thing you can say about him, because it is fucking true, what we've got is Jeremy Corbyn in a free suit that somebody gave him.
Yes.
I mean, at least fucking Corbyn didn't scrounge clothes off his cronies.
No, and he wore and he bought his own glasses.
Exactly right. So this guy, Starmer, he's just Jeremy Corbyn.
Right.
He's just as fucking left-wing. He's just as crazy. He's just as stupid.
Right.
And because of him, the country's in a massive, massive mess after less than two fucking months.
It's incredible. It's actually quite staggering how he's managed to get everything fucking wrong that he's done. You know, and let's count the ways, shall we? Just this week. You know, David Lammy, as I'm now calling him Comical Lammy, by the way.
Comical Lammy, that's good, I like that.
I'm going to make that one stick. He comes out and decides that, you know, that, there might be a breach of international law, so I'd better ban some licenses from being sold, some components from being sold to Israel. But I'm not going to ban all weapons, because that would be wrong. I mean, what an absolute
twat. No, but what that is, that's anti-Semitic. You know, the Labour Party has still got a massive Jew-hating problem.
Mm.
Again, Starmer in Corbyn's image. Corbyn, of course, loathes Jews, loathes Israel, always has, like a lot of...
Although he keeps denying it.
Yeah, well, he can fuck right off when nobody knows where he's coming from.
It's a bit of a giveaway, don't you think, when he forms himself into an alliance with four other MPs who have all been elected because they're Muslims
who support exactly
the Free Palestine Gaza movement.
The guy detests Israel and detests Jews.
Right.
Some might say he's a dyed-in-the-wool, lifelong, serious anti-Semite.
Yeah.
I couldn't possibly comment.
No.
But what this limiting of arms sales to Israel by Labour represents is anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. They support Palestine, they don't like the Jews. It's fucking disgraceful.
I know, it really is. But then, to make matters worse, right, after pissing off the White House, which is pretty hard to do, even dopey old Joe Biden doesn't fucking agree with him. That's how far left he is, right? He upsets Netanyahu and the entire fucking, diaspora of Israelis who go, what the fuck are you doing? You've absolutely encouraged Hamas now to go, I know, we'll kill some more hostages and we'll get some more concessions. But then, to make matters worse, Keir Starmer gets up in fucking Parliament and he actually says, with his lawyer-like tones, oh, we're doing this because we've done it from a legal perspective. We've investigated whether there are breaches of international law. That's not what Lammy said. Lammy said there might be in the future some breach, and that's why we've suspended the licenses.
They're both fucking lying. They're doing
it's lawyer speak, isn't it?
They're both fucking lying. They're doing this because they don't like Israel in the traditional way that left-wing Labour politicians never have.
Yeah.
As the chief rabbi of Britain just said that their decision beggars belief.
Yeah.
Netanyahu just said it's an absolute outrage.
Yeah.
They're right, you know, Israel is one of our oldest allies.
Yeah.
And we have betrayed this country. Britain has betrayed Israel in its darkest hour of need, and to do it on the day that six more hostages were shot in the back of the head by those wankers at Hamas, by Lammy, shows an extraordinary kind of failure of diplomacy. I mean, what is wrong with these fucking people?
I know. Meanwhile, as if that wasn't bad enough, look at the fucking pensioner story. You know, they're still clinging on to this idea that, you know, they're making sacrifices that they don't want to make, choices they didn't want to make, taking money away from hard-working pensioners who have got fuck-all money to begin with, so they can't any longer have the heating allowance, right? And they're trying to say it's because the Tories have spent all the money. Absolute and utter balderdash, more fucking lies.
And you know what Rachel Thieves,
oh, yeah.
The granny freezer, said? Mm. She made a speech yesterday in Parliament, right? It was Chancellor's question time. In her opening speech, she used the term black hole 9 times.
Yes.
In a little 5-minute speech. Black hole, black hole, 22 million men, black hole, black hole. Fuck off, you liar. Right. Fucking liar. She knew that there was she knew there was a 20 billion deficit in our finances because the Office of Budget Responsibility told her. So she's lying that she had no idea. And if you've got a 20...
Although, I think she's telling the truth, she's got no idea.
That much I agree. Yeah. But, you know, she's, oh, well, you know, we've got... What are they saving by freezing pensioners to death? £1.1 billion. But it's does that plug £22 billion? They're giving a fucking shite load of hundreds of millions to the public sector workers
for
pay rise. And this is my favourite. £11.6 billion they're giving to foreign countries for climate change claptrap.
Right.
So you're fucking telling me that the pensioners are the ones who have to suffer when you're giving our money away to foreign countries for green shit.
Yeah.
Fucking nonsense.
Absolutely right. Which brings us on to fucking Ed Miliband, the total twat, right? Who goes, absolute fucking Charlie Hunt, is it? He's a fucking absolute moron, right? He comes bouncing around in his little videos. He's talking about where he's not playing a ukulele this time, but he's going on about how great it is. Oh, we've had this auction, and you know all these people have paid all this money to build a load of wind farms in the North Sea. Well, first of all, no, they fucking haven't. We've subsidised people to buy a fucking stake in what it is that is going to be the new, you know, fucking renewable energy business in this country. You know, the great GB Energy Company, whatever the fuck they're calling it, which doesn't actually make any energy at all.
What is it?
Nobody knows, right?
What is GB Energy?
I was asking that question today to somebody, and nobody knows what it is. It was an MP. They haven't appointed anybody to be the CEO. They haven't hired anybody to run it. They're not going to produce any energy. All they're going to be is like a sort of, you know, middleman or something. But they still haven't started it yet. But the reason why these fucking, you know, licenses were sort of handed out was because they auctioned them all off a while ago and nobody bought them because it was a fucking failing business and a failed fucking idea. So then they went, well, what if we give you even more money? So 3 billion of fucking our money is being given to these fucking green energy companies to build some wind farms. And the other day, 2 days ago, do you know how much the National Grid received from the wind farms in this country?
Go on.
1% for the grid. Because it wasn't very windy.
Yeah, exactly right. So they're, you know, the whole net zero project has always been a lie. You know, they say,
bullshit.
Oh, it's renewable, it'll be cheaper. Ed Miliband, they campaigned
on... I'd like to renew Ed Miliband for somebody that fucking knows a fucking thing.
He campaigned on that when we get in with our fantastic green projects that energy bills will plummet. I think they actually mentioned by £300. Guess what? They've gone up by £300.
Well, that's also bollocks. And this particular auction round will end up, according to the piece I read today, costing every single household in Britain about £150 a year. That £300, by the way, was never a fucking true figure. They got caught out on that. Pat McFadden, I remember, was being interviewed by Laura Kunzberg. And she said, is it £300 a year? And he went, no, we think it's £300 over 5 years. So he already started walking away from it. Then by the end of the interview, he actually said, well, you know, it's such an estimate, actually. We might not be able to save you any money at all.
Do you know,
it's fucking shambolic how much of a lie these people are telling every single day.
Do you know what Ed Miliband proves? If you're an utter fucking fuckwit with not a brain cell in your fucking head, and all you do is make shit mistakes,
right,
and you're absolutely useless at fucking everything, and you're an excuse for a fucking human being who shouldn't be allowed out of the garden shed, go into politics.
Yes.
Because then you'll do quite well.
You will. It's true.
What a fucking idiot.
The place is riddled.
He's selling us lies that will plunge this country into poverty and certainly plunge us into energy poverty. It's a real scandal.
It really is. And you have to wonder, is he really, really fucking stupid?
Yep.
Or is he actually deliberately misleading the nation in order to enrich himself, possibly? Does he have money in it? Or is he doing it just because he wants to be famous for something? Does he want to leave a legacy behind? Because he must know. He might be have a small brain, but he's got a brain. He must know that almost everything he talks about is bullshit. It's rubbish.
I think it's chronic virtue signaling.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think that, you know, in his warped, mad
limited mind. You know, he does believe in the socialist project and, you know, a green and sunlit uplands and a wonderful...
But does he really think...
I think he believes in that.
That if we have a load of fucking wind turbines in the sea, that somehow we'll be in a better place? Because we fucking won't be.
Well, what these people do, all of these green nuts, is they persuade themselves... Mm. That renewables are the future, like that fucking idiot Boris Johnson used to be the same.
Right. This will make our energy bills much cheaper.
Fucking liar. Right. They went up.
Right.
We have to pay levies on our fucking bills to pay for these fucking...
If they really wanted to fucking make our energy bills come down in price, they'd do more exploration of the North Sea and they would fucking frack, because that is by far and away the cheapest and most efficient form of energy. But then they'd go, oh, but they might be damaging the climate. Well, fuck the climate. You know, the fact is we've had, what, the coolest summer for 9 years, right? Despite the fact that all these fucking climate nutters were telling us it was going to be really hot off the scale. Yeah. Like last year, do you remember when all these...
Yeah, 2015.
All these fires were all over the place.
Yeah. And Britain's on fire.
They started doing it again this year. I saw a BBC report from Greece, funnily enough, because there was a few fucking forest fires around, or brush fires around...
Oh, it's just out there. It is fucking hot there.
It is fucking hot. But, you know, guess what? That's why you go on holiday there.
Yeah.
You know, and they
have
fires.
Nice it was too.
And they have, we'll talk about that in a minute, and they have fires every fucking year. Mm-hmm. And nobody who lives there is at all surprised that they have fires every fucking year. And they just hope that, you know, 1 year it doesn't burn their fucking house down.
Yeah, well, I think it was this time last year, was it 2 years ago? Remember a couple of fields in Essex that caught fire? And so all the climate nutters are going, oh, Britain's on fire, Britain's on fire. No, it's not. A field in Essex is on fire.
Yes.
That's it.
Probably because somebody had a barbecue and didn't put it out
exactly
properly.
Fucking right. Mm-hmm. So they go, oh, this is a climate crisis. This year, no fires in Essex or anywhere else because, as you say, it's the coldest summer since 2015, which might explain why the doom goblin Greta Thunberg has given up on climate. She's just been arrested in Copenhagen for protesting about Gaza.
Oh, yeah.
She's now gone gaga about Gaza.
That's the new climate change.
This is it, though, isn't it? It's just interchangeable lefty bullshit. Climate, Gaza, Palestine, they're all the, as long as they're protesting about something that makes them feel good about themselves, it's all about them. Fuck you, Greta, and your gormless gang, you fucking fucking idiot.
See, there's a big fucking march again this weekend, because we haven't seen one for a while. But obviously, inspired by a fucking comical Lammy, they've all decided to get back out on the streets. But this time, they're going to do what they did the last time it went off and got a bit violent. They're ending it at the Israeli embassy in Kensington High Street on Saturday. Metropolitan Police already shitting it, right? They've already put out a whole series of fucking instructions as to what we should be doing and what they expect from the people walking the streets. But I get you, I bet you any fucking money that these cunts will be shouting all manner of hateful things and saying terrible fucking anti-Semitic things, possibly illegal things about fucking the Israelis and Jewish people. And how many of them will get arrested?
None of them. Because it'll be yet another dazzling display of two-tier policing.
And I'm expecting, as we're used to having, Kevin O'Sullivan and Mrs. O'Sullivan down there in one of the cheap...
We got one of the fucking cocktail bars.
I mean, maybe you could go to the Royal Garden.
It's not a bad idea. Why don't you join us?
You might have a view over the over the punch-ups.
Enjoy the demonstration. I'll have another martini, please. That's 25 quid.
Yes.
Yeah. But let's get back to this fucking shit show of a Labour government we talked about. I mean, these cabinet ministers, you know, every single member of the cabinet voted for Remain.
Yeah.
Therefore, Brexit doesn't stand a chance.
Well, I mean, Starmer's already trying to sell the fucking farm, isn't he, over in Germany?
Yeah, well, look, Calamity Cooper, the fucking Home Secretary. The fucking migrant crisis.
Oh,
come on. By the way, I don't know if you noticed. So yesterday, 351 came across, apart from the 12 who drowned.
Right.
Something like 65 had to be rescued from the sea. The previous day, 50 had to be rescued from the sea. And I don't know if you noticed today, quietly, another 317 came across.
Picks 12 of them died, doesn't put them off at all. They're still coming.
Yeah. And what is this got, you know?
And they're hanging off the fucking boats now like they used to do on the trains in India. You know, that's what it looks like.
And this is not the people smugglers' fault. I mean, it sort of is in a way, but that's their business. That's their criminal business. The people who are to blame for these deaths are the British fucking government because there's no deterrent.
Yeah.
Getting rid of the Rwanda scheme. Whatever people said about the Rwanda scheme, it was a deterrent, yeah. and it never started. So getting rid of the Rwanda scheme before giving it a chance was an expensive display of pathetic petulance by a man who can't even stand looking at pictures of Margaret Thatcher.
That's the other story.
This petulant, petty little prick of a prime minister we've got. Anyway, so he takes away the only deterrent. And all the French guys today, the mayor of Wimereux, the mayor of Boulogne, the interior French minister is saying, what do you expect us to do? You fuckers in Britain, you open the gates, you say, come on over, you put them in hotels, you give them 50 quid a week, you give them free fucking food, and you expect us to keep them here. They can't wait to get they're going, why do you do this? Right. It's a good question, isn't it?
It is a good question, and lots of people who get stopped from going, because the French do manage to stop a few of them, just get into another boat the following day, and they keep trying until they get there. And they know they're going to get here, and they know when they get here, they'll never have to leave.
But why do they want to leave France? You know, people say, oh, well, you know, they always want to go to Britain. I mean, Britain is the sort of America of Europe, so a lot of people do want to get here. We're the Shangri-La and all that. But mainly...
It's not going to be Shangri-La for long if it carries on like this.
But another big reason... In France, you know, they can't wait to get out of France because they're lucky if they get a fucking tent.
Right.
They don't get anything from the state. So no wonder they can't wait to get out of France. We've got, you know, I think we should just, like, kind of open up these detention centres, you know, make massive detention centres and get the message to these migrants, once you get here, you go into detention and then we deport you.
Yeah.
Once you get that message out, they'll stop fucking coming.
Of course they will, because at the moment, there is no way that they've got any fucking incentive to stay where they are. I mean, it was frightening talking to a guy yesterday about all of this, the guy who's the new chairman of Reform, you know,
Yusuf,
I think his name is. He was saying there's 500 million people living sort of what you might call in sub-Saharan Africa who are all now pretty much on the move, who want to move out for all sorts of reasons from the country they're in, whether it's Sudan, whether it's Eritrea, whether it's fucking, you know, Ghana, wherever it is. They all want to fucking come to Europe. And there's nothing we can do to stop them. And he was saying, because Reform are the only ones that really got a clue about this, you know, you have to stop the way that they can move around so easily in Europe. You have to.
Yeah, there's that.
And even
yeah.
the Europeans are starting to get the hang of it. The Germans, you know, fucking...
Italians.
Keir Starlin's new fucking mate, right? They've actually managed to deport some people to Afghanistan. How have they managed that? Because they actually came out and said, we now in Germany take the view that we have to protect our citizens when their welfare comes higher than the fucking welfare and human rights of a load of foreign criminals.
By the way, Italy are now successfully repelling 65% of the migrants who try and land.
Right.
So Italy are doing well. And
France are deporting them. Germany's deporting them. Denmark's deporting them. We're not
Denmark does a very strong job. I mean, and Denmark is a left-wing country, by the way.
Yeah.
What the point about this, Mike, you know this, I know this, everyone knows this, in terms of the migrants, it's stopping them coming here. Where there's a will, there's a fucking way. The trouble with the Labour government and those fucking wankers of the Tories before them, they never had the will to do it.
Yeah.
They're too busy sort of being wonderful people and virtue singing. Oh, it'd be inhumane to turn the boats around. It'd be inhumane to lock them up when they get here. Yeah. Well, I don't care.
Right.
Why don't you just fucking do it?
Exactly.
Send them the message that they will not be allowed to stay and they won't fucking come.
Arrest
it's not rocket science.
Fucking arrest them as soon as they land at Dover, put them into a fucking holding pen, put them back on another fucking boat, maybe a ferry, and send them back to France.
So yesterday, 12 people, I think it's the second most migrants that have died in a single incident.
Yeah, well, more people have died. I think twice as many have died this year as last year.
Yeah, so in fairness to Calamity Cooper, the hopeless Home Secretary, she did put a statement out lamenting the horrible tragedy.
Oh, that's good.
But then she said this only means we have to strengthen our bid to smash the people gang. Seems that won't stop it, you fucking idiot.
No.
But we don't get not a word from the Prime Minister.
No.
Not a
Same at the weekend word. Where he said nothing at all. Finally, even Sadiq Khan came out and said something about the two deaths from Notting Hill Carnival. Except he managed to put an entire statement out without mentioning the words Notting Hill, right? Starmer, however, didn't put out a statement of any kind at all about the Notting Hill Carnival, despite the fact that they had more fucking arrests of people than ever before, more sexual assaults, more injuries to fucking emergency workers and police officers, and two fucking deaths.
Yeah, he's a weird... He says nothing. But Starmer is a weird little man, I think, with psychological problems. Mm. So what he can't...
But he is a lawyer.
What he can't...
How many fucking lawyers do you know?
Shit lawyer, by the way.
And he's a shit lawyer,
He was a shit director of public prosecution. Yeah. I was a DPP, I was a very good... He was rubbish.
Yeah.
Ask all the journalists that he tried to put in jail for doing their job. He wasted... tens of millions, probably hundreds of millions of pounds of the public purse trying to put journalists in jail.
Yeah.
Something like 28 of them, every single one of them acquitted.
Yeah.
That's the kind of DPP he was. Absolutely fucking useless.
And whatever he may say about it, managed to miss the Jimmy Savile fucking scenario and the fucking grooming gangs as well, by the way.
More
now, he can say...
More than missed.
He can say anything he likes, but he's a bit like that fucking Labour MP with all the shit fucking slums that he gives away to people.
Yeah.
To claim he doesn't know about it, right?
Yeah.
Starmer claims that, oh, somebody else investigated Jimmy Savile, nothing to do with me. You're the boss, mate.
Yeah.
You can't say on the
exactly
one hand,
right,
I was head of the DPP and then say, oh, I didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, yeah. He more than missed it.
Yeah.
Under his watch, it was decided, and the buck stopped with the director of the public prosecutions, as in him, it was decided not to proceed with the prosecution of Jimmy Savile. That's what he did.
Yeah.
Fucking useless.
Yeah, completely.
Anyway, we've now got this guy. He's got psychological problems.
Mm.
If he doesn't like it, if it's a difficult topic, he just doesn't talk about it. So he won't talk about...
He gets
about,
so tetchy, doesn't he?
Yeah, well
not an issue.
Well,
not an issue.
His approach is like, if you ignore something, it will go away. Well, his director of communications, a bloke called Matthew Doyle, bad idea, by the way, because... he's not a journalist. He knows nothing about journalism. He's a spat.
Right.
He's got to teach this fucking autistic prime minister how to communicate.
Yeah.
I mean, he does seem to suffer from a kind of autism.
It's like when he went up to fucking Southport. Do you remember? And the people were all asking him questions, shouting. I mean, the end people were shouting at him a lot.
Yeah.
And instead of just turning around and talking to them and making some kind of gesture to show that he gave
exactly
a shit
about
what they were saying, he fucking turns around and walks away.
Yeah, I think he's on the spectrum.
Yeah.
I really do.
He
cannot take criticism. He cannot take subjects that he doesn't like. And, you know, for example...
He gets this kind of blank look on his face.
When we were saying, when we were shouting from the rooftops, people like you and me, and the population of the country, about the riots, he insisted it was just a law and order issue.
Yeah.
And we're going, it's not just a law and order issue. These are powerful protests, and a load of people are really, really concerned about the migrant crisis.
Yeah.
He fucking wouldn't have it. No, it's for far-right thugs. We're going to put them in jail.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's a lady of 53 years old writing hurty words on Facebook. 3 years.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
And now he's
fucking
going to lock
Starling.
Up. Now he's going to lock up that fucking dopey Conservative council as well.
I mean,
Lou, you know,
that was just
nonsense. For fucking, like, probably what they're calling a lengthy custodial term.
It's just a silly woman who put some silly shit on Facebook. You know, not the greatest.
I take the Elon Musk approach. We were just talking about him on Plank of the Week because there were all sorts of calls to, you know, limit Elon Musk's power to
have a go. Oh,
yeah,
I hate Elon Musk because he's rich and successful. Yeah.
And the EU had the temerity to sort of issue an open letter to him, right, to warn him that, you know, there are laws in Europe about inciting hatred and inciting violence and publishing misinformation. And he sent them back a meme which basically said, why don't you go and fuck your own face?
I love Elon Musk.
He doesn't give a shit.
But the Labour government hate him because they hate rich and successful people.
Mm. Well, they're chasing lots of them out of the country as well, by the way.
Exactly right. It's horribly illiberal what they're doing to so many. There was a little kid, an 18-year-old moron, who during the Middlesbrough riot unfurled a St George's flag outside a mosque.
Oh,
he's got 2 years and 2 months.
What, that's an offence, is it?
Yeah, 2 years.
How is that an offence?
2 years and 2 months. Well, because he was shouting things like, fuck Allah or something like that.
Okay.
You know. Okay, it's a stupid kid. He doesn't deserve 2 years and 2 months.
Well, particularly since we were talking just last week about how they've been letting out, I think it might have been when you were still away, actually, before you came back, they were talking about something like 147,000 people who no longer go to jail and who haven't been sent to jail and don't even have a criminal record because there's a new community thing going on where if you say sorry, you can get let off.
I saw that,
sex offences, fucking, you know, robbery, assault, yeah. all sorts of terrible fucking offences yeah. that should put you behind bars.
Sorry about raping right. that woman.
Fine! Yeah. yeah, no problem. So, so you don't go to jail, but the guy waving the flag and shouting, fuck Allah, yeah, yeah. is basically yeah. being sent
to So they
to
make
jail.
Room for the white working class. Yeah. Labour hate the white working yeah. class. The 330 people arrested at the Notting Hill Carnival, most of whom, shall we say, would be people of colour,
yeah.
They don't make room for them. There's no. no fast-tracking of their legal cases.
No,
fucking
exactly. No, that's not happening.
Two-tier, Keir.
Two-tier, Keir. But that's not an issue. You can't talk about
that's
that.
That's not an issue. It is no. a fucking issue, you moron.
Yeah, he doesn't like talking about that. Let's talk about something other than the Labour government, though, because we've been here for 24 minutes, and that's all we've talked about.
Harry?
Prince Harry. One piece of good news this week. Prince Harry's apparently now not coming back to Britain unless he gets an apology from his dad.
Yeah.
Guess what? He's not getting that.
That story is going round and round the houses really, yeah. really fast. I think a lot of royal correspondents around Fleet Street are under pressure to write yeah. something. I believe the story.
What? That he
I don't believe all of them, but right. I believe the story... that he sounded out the possibility of coming back to do yeah. some royal duties.
Yes.
So he could do a half in, half out.
Because he's obviously...
He's lost. He's a lost
yeah,
soul.
Yeah, no, totally.
You can see it. You can see it in his face. Right. He's not doing anything. He's got no direction. He's sick and tired of being overshadowed yeah. by old droopy drawers right. and Meghan.
Yeah.
You know, I think he misses the popularity he had here. So I believe so. That he sounded out. And what's happened is... he sounded out, would you think I could come back maybe 3 months a year or something like that? And the message has come back from no. Prince William. Tell you what, why don't you come and fuck yourself yeah. sideways? Right.
Well, they both appeared at that funeral, didn't they? Didn't even speak to each other, so it's obviously pretty bad. Yeah. The other funny story this week, of course, was Meghan being told by the patents office in the US that she cannot actually register the California Riviera Orchard nickname because it's not specific enough about what it is that she's doing.
Well, because if you use American and Riviera,
yeah.
you know, they're very generic terms. Yeah. So if you use that in your company name, it opens up a whole Pandora's right. box of patents.
So other people problems. Can't use
so
it.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Plus the fact she's trying to sort of patent all knives, forks, crockery, fucking God knows what. It's just too much.
Yeah.
But think about
it. Mean, there's a shop here called The Range. They do all that. Why would you bother buying it from her?
Well, the thing about American Riviera Orchards, let's not forget, she launched it in March.
Mm.
6 months on.
Nothing's happened.
She hasn't sold a single fucking thing. You know why? Because nothing has ever been on sale.
No.
This business is going fucking nowhere fast.
No.
Nowhere
I mean,
fast.
I've said this to you many times before. This woman seems to exist purely to make announcements about things that never happen. That's what she does.
It's just a flippity gibbet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, I've got all these projects going on. Really? Well, what projects have you got?
Yeah.
Well, we've got this great documentary series about polo. Really? That'll be ripped off.
Yeah, well, look, yeah. there's two.
I don't think so. She's made, get made.
She's made. The Netflix definitely going to drop them next year.
Yeah.
And the $100 million contract. There's a podcast called The Puck in yeah. Hollywood. It's like the Bible because it is presented by a former editor of the Hollywood Reporter,
yeah.
which is the Bible publication,
so he
and also
is
also
well
and the business former business yeah. editor. So they present this, and it is everybody listens to it.
Now, right.
what they recently did is that sort of the worst 20 deals in Hollywood history,
right.
and the Meghan and Harry deal was number one, the worst deal in Hollywood history.
Yeah.
So they will drop them next year without a shadow of doubt due to lack of products.
Spotify,
she's made a cooking series,
right.
And it is being reported that unimpressed Netflix executives say, and this is the quote, that it is not expected to connect, which is code for a pile of fucking
shots.
Crap.
Yeah.
And he's still filming this series about polo.
Right.
I mean, no one gives a flying fuck about chinless cunts falling off horses,
no.
do they?
Nobody knows the rules. Nobody watches it.
It's boring.
It's shit.
I've been to quite a few polo matches. When I was a young reporter, they used to send you down to Cowdrey Park.
Yeah.
That's down in Sussex, I think.
Yeah.
Where you know, this is in the days when Prince
Charles
was playing.
Yeah.
So you just have to go and watch them and see if they snogged any girls or
right.
anything like that. And even when they're that sort of like famous royal players and all that, the crowds were really sparse.
Right. And they're all fucking, you know, chinless ones.
And then you watch it, there's just a bunch of twats on small horses falling off all
right.
the time. And by the way, animal cruelty note, it's absolutely awful for those horses. They have a terrible rating.
Yeah, I read a piece of the Telegraph actually just this week about how, you know, in the wake of all the business around the Olympics and the equestrian events and all of that, that there's a big, much more big focus on horses and how they're treated.
Yeah.
And polo, I was reading, is particularly bad because the bit that they have in their mouth to turn them so quickly is really painful.
That's right. It's all the, it's really all the fast churns. They break their legs at an alarming rate. And of course, basically, because they're small horses, because they have to be quite close to the ground, it's basically big blokes on small horses. So it's got a cruelty factor as well. But no one gives a flying fuck about Polo.
No.
And so apparently, although he hasn't finished it, Netflix say they don't expect that to connect either.
Yeah, there's a lot of not connecting going on. Anyway, fuck those two twats.
Yeah.
You know, they're so irrelevant now, I don't even ever feel like talking about them on Plank of the
Week.
Well,
the last point, I mean, the last point I would make about them is, you know, he is sounding, he did, I mean, he got short shrift, but I think he would like to come back.
He needs a purpose.
Exactly right. She will never set foot in this country again because she hates Britain and its feelings.
Right. Mutual. And she also knows how much damage she's done to the royal family.
Exactly right. Now, think about it. If he came back for, I don't know, 3 months, what does that mean about the marriage?
Yeah, right.
I don't think things are all that rosy behind the gilded gates.
You see an awful lot of pictures of the two of them together when they're in a sort of unguarded moment. And they don't look very happy.
Yeah, well,
he looks fucking miserable.
He looked fucking suicidal when they're in that weird pretend royal tour of Colombia.
Oh, God. How bad was that? Did you see that fucking little shitty theatre they were in? What? Which was like the worst wedding that you've ever been in. Somebody's just coming in. That's all right, go ahead. Thank you. We'll just resume this. I'll tell Aaron at 30 to take a little break. They looked to all intents and purposes to not even want to be there. And then she made this really ludicrous kind of play of making herself look visible. She gets up in the middle of somebody speaking on the stage, walks across the stage, I don't know if you saw this, and rearranged the way that the fan was blowing. So, I mean, they didn't even have fucking air conditioning in the shithole they were in. And then she goes and sits down and makes a big thing of it, and the crowd all start applauding.
Well, because she changed the fucking direction of the air machine.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it is quite pathetic.
And he looked miserable as hell, sort of in her slipstream, in her shadow. So he's looking for a purpose, but he's not going to get it. The royal family won't let him anywhere near them.
No.
So I think he's a bit... I think the technical... term for him and the rest of his life is he's fucked.
Yeah, up shit's creek
without
a paddle.
You made your fucking bed, Ginger.
Yeah.
Now,
now let's talk about your holiday because we haven't really had a chance to do that. We had you on at one point to talk about your experience with the
when I nearly drowned trying to get the anchor out.
But it sounded like a good trip.
It was fantastic. We had a couple of friends staying in the next village for a week. But the interesting thing was, I kept getting recognised.
Really?
So I was with this American mate of mine from LA, and he was getting really fed up with it everywhere we went. People go, "Excuse me, are you Kevin?" But anyway, we went to this. I didn't move around all that much. Mostly stayed in the tavernas by the sea.
Yeah.
And all that. But we
looked lovely though.
One day we went to the mountains.
Mm.
Lovely island, Corfu.
Yeah, I've not been there.
Apart from a few package holiday places, but it's really nice. And we went to this remote mountain village where there's a recommended restaurant, and we're walking through these streets and I hear from behind me, "Hey, Clock TV!" There's a bunch of Scotsmen.
Brilliant.
Fucking great work, mate. Hey, yeah, mate.
Fantastic.
So it was excellent to be there, and as I said to you, it was very strange being over there, watching Starmer's Britain unfold.
Right.
I felt like I was watching a sort of documentary about 1970s East Germany. Here, Keir, can you just stop chucking everyone in jail?
Well, the final ignominy this week, just to go back to them before we finish, is fucking Oasis. You know, Lisa Nandy, or Lisa Nobody, as I like to call her, deciding, the government might have to do an investigation into surge prices. Yeah. Why? You don't have to buy a fucking ticket to Oasis. It's not like everybody's human rights to get one for 50 quid. You know, if you're stupid enough to sit on a fucking computer for 10 hours and then pay double the amount you wanted to, then you're a fucking twat and you've right to have the piss taken out of you.
Yeah, that's the kind of, I mean, people are getting ripped off, I guess. I don't fucking care. But as I've said on my
show... Yeah, but it's life, isn't
it? I've said on my show a couple of times, you know, you're all getting all anxious. Are you going to get the Oasis tickets? Won't you get the Oasis ticket? You're going to sit there for 3 hours. I said, I've got a solution. Just don't fucking bother.
Exactly.
Don't go and see Oasis.
Right.
You'll be much fucking happier. Right. And it's going to be, they're going to be just going through the motions.
Of course
anyway,
they are. I mean, it will not be. I saw Oasis back in, you probably did as well, back in the early part of 2000.
No doubt about it.
I mean, tremendous show at Hampden. But it was absolutely fucking bonkers mad because the Neds, as we used to call them in Glasgow, you know, which is, you know, the young kids like the Yobbos. I mean, they were all fucking mad for it, but they were being Scottish. They were even more fucking mad for it than everybody else. And they were chucking bottles at the stage and fucking absolutely getting ripped up. The band were threatening to walk off. You know, it was shambolic.
I know.
But it was exciting and it was fun.
They are exciting, that's the point.
But you can't do that now when they're sort of late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah, it's now stadium rock, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the thing about Oasis is somebody much cleverer than me observed, and it's a really good observation. Oasis don't have fans.
Right.
They have supporters.
Yeah.
They're like a football
team.
So, as I say, my advice is, you know, just don't
fucking
bother.
But there's a lot of these Gen Zers.
It's just a fucking
no, but there's a lot of these Gen Zers now who are used to doing this. Because somebody said to me, and I remember this is what I used to do, and probably so did you, when I was a fucking teenager, I used to sleep out overnight to get tickets for shows. There was no fucking internet. And you fucking felt like
that's
you earned
right,
it.
That's right, you did. You had a queue.
You felt like you... I met my fucking wife in a queue.
Oh, yeah, I saw you say that.
For the fucking Who in Brighton Centre. It was a fucking great show, by the way, as well. But we slept on the street with about 300 other people. And you knew those were proper fans.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't just sit on a fucking laptop fucking hours on end, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we do in the next, talking of The Who, when we do our next podcast, this is something for people to look forward to. I'll tell you my story about when I was like about a 17-year-old kid and I was down the pub. To cut a long story short, got drinking with some people. You know, remember those days you used to come back to my house for a cup of tea and drink it? So I brought back to my house and my mum brought the tea in with all the biscuits. Pete Townsend and the keyboard player, Nicky Hopkins.
Oh, really? Wow.
Pete Townsend sat in my fucking house.
Wow.
And he went, we played all my records. He said, you've
brilliant.
Got a good collection. And
fantastic.
Anyway, I'll tell you more about that
all
next
right.
time.
Well, we'll have to not forget to do that because we're both getting too fucking old to remember shit.
Yeah.
But listen, it's good to be back. We will see you same time next week or thereabouts, probably with more shit to tell you about this fucking ridiculous government
and
dragging Britain down the gurgler.
And at the risk of pissing everyone off, because we keep saying it, we've got to get a fucking live show.
I know.
Even if it's just in the local pub.
Well,
we'll get it together, promise.
We will, absolutely right. See you later.
Cheers, cunts.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.